For many of us, a good walk outdoors has been one of those newly found pandemic hobbies meant to help us wind down and safely engage with the outside world. So whether you've been walking around the block or taking long hikes, call, tell us about it. How has walking helped you appreciate your community or nature in a different way during this pandemic? What are your favorite paths, your favorite neighborhoods? Have you had moments where you felt unsafe, where you've had to adapt, or are there places you feel like you can't go? And if you've been walking more, do you think you'll keep doing it as we find our way to some new normal? Let's talk about it. Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or tweet us at Radio Boston. We have two experienced walkers to have this conversation with us today. First, we have Alex Cox. This last Saturday, Alex completed a huge milestone. Over the course of the last 4 years, he walked or biked through all of Greater Boston, nearly 2,300 miles total. In case you're wondering, that's about the same as the length of the Mississippi River. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, Tiziana. Thanks so much for having me.
And we are also joined by Mark Hurwitz, who is an Appalachian Mountain Club hike leader. He also writes about food and the outdoors for Dig Boston. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. So, Alex, I'm going to start with you first. 2,300 miles is a lot of miles, and I understand that you did more than 90% of that on foot. Why did you decide to do it?
Well, Tiziana, I had always loved walking in Boston. I mean, it is America's walking city, and there is just so much that you can see on foot. And so I had started to kind of, when I lived here or moved here, I had started to explore the neighborhoods near me. And as I started to kind of explore more and walk more streets, I started to keep track of that. And then I realized that I could actually reach the goal of walking all of Boston after a few months into the pandemic, when walking became kind of the only real safe activity that I could do in the way that I like to spend most of my time. It was my favorite leisure activity, my favorite form of exercise. And I just loved getting to go and explore the entire city on foot.
Nice. What was your biggest discovery? In 2,300 miles, I imagine you saw lots of different kinds of things. Your biggest discovery?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I loved all of the little pockets of green space that I found throughout the city. I think that probably my favorite, I can't say it's a discovery because I had been there a couple times, but I think the Arnold Arboretum is one of my favorite spots in the city. There's so many great little green spaces and urban wilds like Geneva Cliffs and the wilderness section of Franklin Park. So getting to find those quiet spaces was a really great find.
So Mark Hurwitz, let's turn to you now, the Appalachian Mountain Club hike leader. So I don't know if I'm picking a fight by asking this question. Are hiking and walking the same thing or different things in your mind?
Well, that's an interesting question because we've actually had that struggle with the name of our group. So we're within the Appalachian Mountain Club. We're AMC Local Walks and Hikes. It's a fine line, I guess, where if you take a walk, say, to Castle Island from maybe the JFK station, yeah, that's a walk. But if you go into the Arboretum and start doing the hills, I guess you could consider that a hike. So, yeah, I mean, we call them both, really. I mean, to me, it's how easy it is, how quick it is. If there's sidewalks and roads, I would tend to call them walks rather than hikes. But there's a lot of hiking in Boston and in the suburbs.
And Mark, did you find that more people wanted to both walk and hike as the pandemic wore on?
Initially, not really. You know, a lot of people at first were scared. I mean, no one knew what was going on. And a lot of people would just want to stay in. And then slowly they realized, you know, I can't do this. You know, the weather's getting nicer. This was last spring. And need to find places to go that maybe there aren't many people, but just get into the woods or go into some fields or on the ocean. And we saw more and more people get out for a while. But then this past winter, it seemed like a lot of people just decided not to go out.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. And listeners, call in. Are you walking more? Where are you walking? Are there favorite trips that you have or new discoveries you've made? Also, are you maybe someone who doesn't feel safe walking? Maybe there are places you don't feel like you can safely go. We want to have the whole conversation. 800-423-8255. We've got Kate on the line in Truro. Kate, go ahead.
Hi. I've been lucky enough to be in Truro since November. Because we lost our house in the glass fire in Napa Valley. And I just want to say how important it is to have these protected, beautiful places in our lives. And to be part of the National Seashore that I know will always be there for me has been an immense gift.
Kate, I hear a lot of emotion in your voice. This really does sound like it's very important to you.
It's a sacred spot that I've been, you know, graced with, and I just wish I could send a little bit of it to everyone listening.
Thank you, Kate. I feel like you did. I feel like Kate did send us a little bit of that. So, Alex, let's pick up on this idea that Kate just gave us of sacred spaces in walking. You know, you walked in a city. It's not going to be the quietest place always. And yet, can you find the sacred in those walks?
Absolutely. I mean, I love the city. I, you know, no offense to Mark and hikes, but I am definitely, I prefer walking in the city to walking in nature. And I did really find bliss in just kind of being able to see so many families out walking together, enjoying themselves, people sitting out in parks, getting to enjoy each other's company safely during the pandemic. That was something that really brought me a lot of joy over the last year.
Mark, I imagine that being in nature, more the hike side of what you do, maybe I'm projecting, but I'm imagining that often people will find the kind of peace or sacred space that Kate was telling us about.
Absolutely. And you can definitely find it within the Boston city limits, like Alex was saying. And, you know, once you get beyond Boston into some of the inner suburbs, even you can, if you look hard enough, you can find some places where there's nobody at all, you know, like for instance, the, Cranberry Pond in Braintree or Rag Rock in Woburn. There are these places that, nobody knows about. So it doesn't take too long to get out of downtown Boston to find some real peace.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255, to talk to us about how you've been walking or not walking during the pandemic. To join that conversation, we've got Sandra on the line in Acton. Sandra, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I really found that walking was my only solace, like the time I felt most normal. And what I would do at first, I tried to get out around my neighborhood. And it seemed like everybody was trying to get out in the neighborhood, and then you were seeing more people than you were comfortable with walking around. So I just ended up trying to find a spot where there weren't a lot of people. And I was lucky enough to find one and would grab my friend's dog and go out there and just let him run off leash. And it was just, you know, you'd forget to leave your, you know, you wouldn't want to leave your house. And so the only time I felt safe was when I would go there, but it's also you need to decompress and get out of your house and out of your head. And that was really my survival was being with this dog. I think the dog had a lot to do with it, but being outside was
so fun. Why'd you borrow a dog to bring with you, Sandra?
I know this, I have this friend and she has this dog and I'm very close to them. So I'm very comfortable with him anyways, but it just was like, he brought out joy. It was just the ultimate distraction. And so it was kind of like somebody to go with too. It wasn't just yourself. And you know, you might get a little lonely because we're already so separated during this time.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Sandra. I've got one other caller who I think has brought dogs out for his walk too. We've got Steve on the line in Watertown. Steve, how have you been walking?
Yes. I've been walking about 4 to 6 miles a day, nonstop, even before the pandemic. My family, we actually got a second dog in December to keep on walking. And actually, the dog walking has been, you know, it's good. It's been good for our health and for the dog's socialization. But it's also been good for our socialization because you run into other dog walkers and you're outside and you know, the two big leashes kind of like automatically keep, you know, social distancing everyone. So it's
That's
a,
great.
Yeah, no, it's been a dog send.
A dog send. Okay, Steve, you win the line of the day. That's going to stick in my head when I'm walking my own dogs. Alex, what about this idea of companionship when we're walking? And I'll add to that, part of the reason I asked Sandra why she borrowed the dog is, you know, I walk my dogs a lot. I'm out walking a lot. But when I was younger, I had been taught to be very careful as a woman about walking alone and thinking about my safety. I know dogs sometimes can provide for some extra safety, too. But what are the various aspects of companionship and walking, Alex?
Yes, well, I think that most of my walks, I enjoy kind of my solitary time and getting out of the house and having some time to myself to listen to music or podcasts. But I think that walking with a companion has also been a really wonderful thing during the pandemic and kind of the only way that a lot of us have been able to see our friends in person. So I definitely identify with that.
Mark, you know, I talked about the safety for a woman, for example, walking alone. As we were thinking about having this conversation today and all the joys of walking, we were also really thinking about the challenges of walking. And what was in the back of my mind was a conversation we had here on Radio Boston recently with an artist named Imani Willett, who wanted to retell the story of the glorified American road trip from the Black perspective, because road tripping held dangers of violence and terror for Black drivers. And, you know, I'm thinking about this moment where we have assaults on the street of Asian American and Pacific Islanders, that community across the country. We know that Black and brown people have historically felt racially profiled and dealt with profiling in predominantly white neighborhoods. How do we create a walking culture that is safe for everyone? And how do we recognize that right now it's not? Do you think about that in your work, Mark?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I do lead, I mean, we haven't really led hikes much in the past year, but when we lead hikes for the Appalachian Mountain Club, a couple of things come up. First of all, it's a melting pot. It's basically like being on a subway in New York City, but with a small group hiking in the woods, and nobody really thinks about, you know, this person is, you know, different cultures, different religions, so we're all in it together. The other thing we do tell people, though, on the hikes is we say, don't think about, you know, try not to go on a hike by yourself, even though you think you might be going to some park where maybe there's people walking dogs. You know, it's not a good idea to hike alone, to walk alone. So the whole companionship thing is also a safety thing. And I think it's really important just to safety in numbers, really, because especially in the woods. You just don't know what can happen in the woods. So it's really important, I think, to at least when you're in a remote area, to walk with other people.
So safety in numbers, an opportunity for a cross cultural experience in walking in a group. Anything you want to add, Alex?
Yeah, I think I would definitely like to acknowledge my privilege as a white man who can feel safe walking alone. Whether in kind of in the city or in a more kind of wooded, secluded area. I know that that's not something that everyone is able to do, but I would really like it to be something that everyone could feel safe doing. And there are lots of ways that we can do that, whether it's better street lighting at night, having just more eyes on the street that can help everyone else feel as safe as I do when I walk.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255, to tell us about your favorite walking experiences. We have Lisa on the line in Lexington. Lisa, go ahead.
Hi. I called in to say in Lexington, throughout the last couple of years, they've been documenting where all the conservation land is, and there's quite a bit. And then they created basically these 12 hikes. Path that's through mostly conservation, but also weaves in through some streets and stuff. And so they made the, you know, there were sort of 12 of them. And if you do them all, I think they send you a certificate. I'm not sure. But anyway, I got the map and my husband and I started doing them in the really you know, hard winter months where we have dogs, mm-hmm. and so we're always in the woods. But, you know, you tend to go to the same woods you know. And it was just amazing how much joy it brought us. I mean, it was really so much fun. And, you know, we'd sort of try to do our time better, you know, because we had one of the meter things. And then we'd run into people we knew in town and talk. And then we'd say, like, oh, no, forget our time. We were trying to beat our time. And now it took so long. So anyway, it was a really funny thing. But it's just, it was interesting how much, I mean, we've always loved nature and being in the woods. But it was interesting how much happiness it brought to do this. And
I can hear
it,
Lisa.
We both so looked forward to. Like, yeah, we got to go do that one again.
That's great. I can hear the happiness in your voice. I think we've got another caller who wants to talk to us about the joys of walking in a conservation area. We've got Bonnie in Eastham. Bonnie, go ahead.
Hi. I've been really enjoying the conservation land out here in Cape Cod. And one thing that really helped was to go online and type in the town names and conservation land. And you can come up with, it has all, there are maps for everywhere. And these are a lot of spaces that people don't really go to. There's a lot of tourists on Cape Cod, and they're all going to the beaches. So I've been really avoiding the beaches, even though, you know, the nice weather is out here. So going on the conservation trails and the maps, when it's nice Wonderful. Outside, there's not as many people.
Thanks, Bonnie. I'm going to try to grab one more here. Sophie in Cambridge. Sophie, what's on your mind?
I was thrilled to hear about the show today because I just finished walking every street in Cambridge, which
is
my
great.
Pandemic project. Thank you. And what was so special about it for me was having an intentional project that at the beginning I was just casually walking, but then like it got a little bit boring, so I kind of wanted to have like a way to structure my walks. And that was a great source of joy for me to look at my map and my spreadsheet and figure out pockets I hadn't seen yet to be intentional about it and get to know Cambridge that way.
Thank you, Sophie. So Alex, the joy of having a real project, you know, Sophie walked all the Cambridge streets, you walked Greater Boston. Talk about the joy in having that project, that goal to work toward as you walk.
Absolutely. Sophie, I identified with that so hard. It really is just, it's such a wonderful thing to, it gave me so much joy to just have something to get me out of the house during COVID and to have a safe and real world experience that, you know, was getting away from Zoom and also being able to explore more than just the couple of blocks around my apartment that I'm used to. It's so wonderful to have a goal like that to work towards.
And Mark, I'm struck by across these calls, we hear a lot about joy. We hear about feeling safe in a time of uncertainty in the pandemic. Talk to us about the mental health benefits as well as the physical health benefits of this walking and hiking.
Well, yeah. So we've been in this for more than a year now. And when you think about it, I mean, dealing with something like this for a year, the stress, basically everyone's burned out right now. Everyone is just kind of languishing and just really fried, you know? And I think for a lot of people, they just look forward to finishing up with work for the day and going out for that walk on some side streets, or maybe finishing up on a Friday and going out, you know, looking forward to a Saturday, going hiking in the woods with friends. And I mean, it really does de-stress you so much. I know that every Saturday we map out different hikes for the AMC right now. And the minute we get into the woods or into the fields or along the ocean, within a few minutes, the stress level's just gone. So by Monday, we're already saying, oh, can't wait to do this on Saturday. So it's really important for people to do something like that. It doesn't have to be walking or hiking, but it just needs to be something where you can find a way to get rid of that stress. Because right now, I mean, the past year has been absolutely horrendous in so many ways.
Well, that's encouraging, that sense of stress and, I mean, reducing stress and getting freedom. Thanks to the listeners for calling in. You just heard Mark Hurwitz, Appalachian Mountain Club hike leader, who also writes about food in the outdoors for Dig Boston, and Alex Cox, who just walked nearly 2,300 miles as he walked or biked through all of Greater Boston. Mark and Alex, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having
me. Thank you so much.